Always love it when we have more guests in the studio. We rarely do. Nobody wants to get up this early and join us. I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either.
I don't want to get up that early.
But we do have a guest. He's Max Kaler. He is a sophomore, correct, Max?
Yep, sophomore
at Belvedere North High School. 15 years old, but he's already a veteran race car driver at Rockford Speedway. Max has been racing at Speedway for, I believe now, it's two seasons?
Yep, two full seasons, and this year will be the third. So
okay. So you started racing at 14 at the Speedway. When did you start racing? I mean, when did you start?
I started racing go-karts at 9 years old. Okay. My dad bought a go-kart for me. We went up to, you know, Wisconsin, all over the place, racing those for a couple of years. And then he still had his late model back in the day when he was racing that. So then he put me in that. And we went around up to Wisconsin. We raced there because I was only 13.
Right.
And up there, they let you race at 13, but you got to go through a long process with the insurance company and everything. Yeah. So it let me race up there at 13. And then we came down to Rockford, and raced the two seasons. And here we are. So
I brought this up earlier, how it's – I'm amazed that, to me, driving from my driveway to the grocery store, as I said before, is a whole lot safer than going on a track. And yet I have to be 16 with a year's worth of driver's education and a permit and all that stuff. What exactly do you have to go through to be able to hop on a racetrack, which I think is much more dangerous at age 13 years old? What's the process before that you can do that?
Well, it's not really that complicated of a process. Really, it's just what the insurance company says at the track. So there's, you know, for Rockford, it's 14. For other tracks, it might be less than 14. Like Jefferson, it's 13. So really, it's just kind of depends. Really, at 14, anyone can go out there and race. At 13, you got to get evaluated by the insurance company and that such thing. But you know, there's some people out there that probably shouldn't be out there, but okay, that's just how it is. So.
But isn't it more dangerous than, I mean, if you got 14-year-olds, what have you learned about driving that, you know, is it just basically what your dad taught you in terms of driving, just for being on the track? I'm just the deal of being able to maneuver other cars and things like that. It's more difficult than maneuvering a car on Alpine if I'm going, like I said, to the grocery store. So I'm always amazed that there's not more of a check off that they had to make sure you could do all these different things at the Speedway, for instance. They say, okay, well, can you do this, that? Give me a couple test runs so I can see that you're safe and we can trust you to be on the course.
Yeah, that's probably how it should be. You know, it's race cars are a lot more complicated than your average street car.
Right,
it's a lot
right.
more mechanical. There's a lot more stuff going on. So it's a lot different. And like you said, it should probably be a bigger process than that. It probably would save a lot of wrecks and stuff, but that's just how it is. And that's how we got to go week to week, hoping that we don't get wrecked by one of those people.
Sure.
So,
Max, you've had a lot of success already. I mean, early in your career. I mean, are you a natural? Did you kind of struggle in the beginning? How did you take to the sport when you got started?
I mean, yes, I did. Definitely struggle at the beginning. I mean, up at Jefferson, we were, you know, pretty bad for a couple weeks, you know, bad lap times, stuff like that. But we practiced mostly the whole season because they wouldn't let me race, like I said, because of the insurance company. But then we raced the last 2 weeks. Didn't make it the first time. And then second time we made the show, finished second to last, something like that. But once we got to Rockford, we started off pretty good. First season, I won a feature, becoming the youngest feature winner. Then from there on, I just kind of, you know, started learning more and more and becoming better as it went on. And, you know, let's thank to my sponsors, you know, all of them. They help us out, get us through the season, and I just couldn't do it without them. So with them, we can buy better equipment so we can be faster, and I can learn more coming from that.
Talk a little bit about the learning process then. I mean, what did you learn the first year? What have you learned your second year? I mean, I'm sure you got a lot more to learn too as well, but I mean, how have you grown as a driver? What are some of the things that you learned over the course of that time?
Well, the first year, it's more just getting comfortable with the car because it's a lot, it's kind of scary, honestly, being in that car going around the track, so you just kind of got to get used to it. It's real different than average street car, and you just got to get used to that. You got to get used to being close to people out on the track. You got to get used to racing hard with people. So the first year, it's more so just getting comfortable with it, and the second year, it's pushing it, trying to get it, you know, where you need to be. So it's just real complicated, and you just got to figure it out, go step by step.
What's the difference in the tracks? I know you said you were at Jefferson and now you're at Rockford. Just tell a little about the difference in the different tracks.
Jefferson is pretty weird. Then 1 and 2, you run the bottom, and 3 and 4, you run the top. But at Jefferson, it's just the top the whole way around, or top middle. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, Rockford's banked a little bit more, so you get faster speeds. But at Jefferson, it's not banked, so you don't get much faster speeds. But those are basically the two tracks that I've been at. I've been to the Dells, which is the bottom, both 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. So it just kind of depends on the banking and the size of the track. So all three of those are quarter miles. There's half miles around here. You don't get much bigger than that. Down south, there's a lot more tracks, but that's mainly what you get around here.
Talk a little bit about you. Obviously, it's an expensive sport.
Yep.
And so you said it got some sponsorships. I mean, how did you get the sponsorships and kind of give me a sense of what it costs to maintain the cars that you have to continue to race?
To maintain the cars, it costs a lot. So, you know, our sponsors are incredible. Nick Shuckus over at Windsor Auto Sales, he helps us out a lot. And, you know, he's there every Saturday night helping us out. He does mm-hmm. tires and does that kind of stuff. And we got a lot more sponsors like Don Carter Lanes. That's where our fundraiser is at, the Cherry Bowl. They own that as well. So mm-hmm. they're helping us out with that, which is a huge thanks to them. And, I mean, it's just we couldn't do it without them. And I, you know, beyond thankful for that.
Sure.
What ultimately is your goal, Max? I mean, I know you're just getting started out in this. But, I mean, where do you see this going, you know, in the years ahead?
Well, really the next step up from limited late models is super late models. And that's a lot more expensive, a lot. They're faster. They got about 100 more horsepower. So that'll be the next step up. But from there on, I mean, I'd hope to go all the way. But nowadays, that's really hard to do. You got to have a lot of money in your back pocket. So that's really the end goal. You know, we'll see if we get there or not. But that's the end goal. Hoping we'll get there eventually. But we'll just have to see.
And talk about the rush of racing. I mean, what does that feel like? You know, you know, there's a runner's high and, you know, golfers have their own high. I mean, what is it feel like being, you know, behind that wheel?
I mean, there's a lot of adrenaline, but you have to stay calm. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, you're running in as hard as you can doing this, but it's precision. You know, you got to have precision. You got to know what you're doing. You can't overdrive the car. You can't get all crazy. So you got to be focused, definitely, and you got to know what you're doing, and you can't, you know, get a hot head and go do crazy stuff or else you're not going to last very long. So,
and you mentioned earlier that you were the youngest one to win a feature at Speedway, correct?
Yep.
And you won three features last year and finished third in points. What do you attribute your success? I mean, at such a young age to step out there and do it. Because you're in late models, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So what? And that's the top bracket, correct me wrong.
At Rockford Speedway, yes.
At Rockford Speedway, yep. Yes. So what do you attribute to your success? I mean, you've jumped pretty far pretty fast. I mean, which kind of says that you're going to probably go far relatively
hopefully,
fast.
Yeah. You know, going from go-karts to late models is kind of a big step. You know, you got a little go-kart and then right. a full-scale late model. So really, I don't really know. It just kind of, you know, first year, like I said, was tough. And then from there on, I just built on. And I mean, my dad helped me a lot. But I do feel like racing go-karts actually really does help. As far as they may seem, they're mm-hmm. connected. They both have a gas pedal, a brake pedal, and a steering wheel. So go-karts got to be real smooth. Late models got to be real smooth. So they just go hand in hand. And it's just experience. I mean, 3 years may not seem like a lot, mm-hmm. but it definitely is experience. And the more you're out there, the more you learn. And the more, you know, the better people you have behind you helping you out, the faster you'll learn. So I truly think that's why.
What kind of respect do you get out there? The old guys, are they kind of like looking at some kid out there? Or what, are you getting trash talk from them? Or?
I mean, a little bit, yes. Of course, they don't want to get beat by a 15-year-old kid.
You know? Exactly.
Who does, really?
They'd rather get beat by someone their own age than a young 15-year-old kid. So. It's definitely, I mean, they treat me the same, but of course, they definitely don't want to get passed by me, so.
Right, right.
Now, you play football, too, at Belvedere North.
Yep.
So, talk about your love of football, and how do you juggle, you know, your racing career with football?
It's very complicated, because in the summer, you know, we're practicing all day long, and get back home, you work on the race car till, you know, 9 o'clock at night, and then the next day, you repeat. And then once you get into the season, it's Friday night, you're out there playing football, and then go back home, work on the race car a little bit, go to bed, wake up, go to the racetrack. So it's complicated, it's hectic, but we get through it.
How long have you played football? Most of your life?
Yep. Since fifth grade, I started tackle. And then before then, I just played flag football.
To you, I mean, are there comparisons or similarities between playing football and racing? Like that rush or...
A little bit, but football, it's a lot more hot-headed, in my opinion, and racing, it's a lot more precision, so.
Yeah.
What would you rather do if you were equally good at both?
Racing.
Still racing, yep. Okay. All
yep.
right.
Definitely.
What are you doing this time of year? Can you do anything as far as prepping for the race season in the winter when the weather's like this? Is there, like, simulators or something that you can practice
there is,
on?
There is iRacing simulators. You can get on your computer, got a steering wheel and stuff, you go on there, but I don't really like that too much. I don't think it's very realistic, mostly because I'm not good at it, but... But, you know, during the off season, working on the cars 24/7, basically, it's almost as hectic as the real season. But, you know, you're out there all day working on the cars. And this year we have two cars that we're putting together. So it's been real interesting trying to get both of those together. And we're close now, but it's, of course, a lot of work during the off season right. trying to get the cars ready, improving on what you did last year and just fixing stuff that wasn't fixed correctly. So
I'm sure it's based, obviously, on the weather, too. But when can you actually get behind a wheel and start doing some work?
The first race is late April, and the week before that, they have open practice for, you know, everybody can come out. Mm-hmm. But you can rent the track a couple weeks before then if you really want to get out there. So okay. It's basically the start of the season in practicing.
Max, what about the relationships you've formed in racing? I imagine you've met a lot of great people. You talked about people that have helped you along the way. But what about friendships and other racers and other people around the business that you've met? What have those experiences been like for you?
And, you know, meeting all these sponsors, it's been real interesting, you know, to meet with these people. And, you know, they're just so important to me. Everybody, like Dickey Staffing Solution, Meekum Auctions. You know, Frank Meekum, he's a great guy. I talked to him. And it's just, you know, it's so important to meet with these people and talk to them. And I think that me being out there and, you know, getting experience talking to people in the real life, like it's a real business, you know, it's really going to help me in the future. And I just can't thank the sponsors enough.
And what about fans? I mean, do you have fans right now that, you know, have people asked you for your autograph or, you know, have you experienced that yet?
Yeah, I mean, after the races, they open up the pits, they come down, I sign, you know, autograph cards for them and stuff. So there is a little fan base. I'm not going to say it's huge, but there, of course, there's a little fan base. And, you know, it's interesting when people come up, want to take pictures and stuff. It's just a different experience than what you're used to.
That must be surreal,
yeah.
Right? Being 15?
Yep, yeah, definitely.
This is how Justin Bieber got started would be my guess, right?
I can tell you firsthand it is, yes. That's how celebrities get famous.
That's how you got started too, right, Randy?
Signing autographs at 15.
You're right.
And I was trying to grow a mustache at 15. It's failing quite heavily. Do your classmates know what you do? I remember this because I did an interview last year with a high school girl who was a cheerleader in other sports, but she was really good at gymnastics, but there was no gymnastics here. So nobody knew that this girl was like state caliber level high gymnast. Because it was a sport that wasn't IHSA.
Right.
Kind of the same vein here. I mean, do your classmates know how good a race car driver you are? Do they go out and support you and all that? Or is this kind of behind the scenes? I know you as the football player, but not the race car driver.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of, you know, low on the radar. I mean, people know I do it, but they don't really understand it. You know, my friends understand it because I've explained it to them. And
sure.
Garrett Hall said he's probably my best friend. He comes out, helps us during Saturday nights. So he knows about it. And he, you know, he's out there every Saturday night helping us out. So I can't thank him. But, you know, no one really knows. They know I do it, but they just don't understand. So it's not, you know, to the full extent.
It's kind of weird then, because in a way you're kind of doing this thing and very successful on the sites. Now that you're getting noticed, I mean, there's been stories in the newspaper about you. You're on with us again today. And I've seen other stories on WTVO and things like that. So, I mean, it's not like nobody knows who you are, but it's just a little bit of an anonymity. You're kind of doing what you're doing behind the scenes. It's just probably you and probably your dad and maybe some other people that are helping you put it together.
Yep, just me, my dad, Nick Shuckus, Garrett Halstead. You know, we're out there every Saturday night, so it's a grind, definitely, but it's mm-hmm. fun, and, you know, it's a shame not more people understand it, but that's how it is, and, you know, they understand I do it, so.
Do you go out there, they try to recruit them to come on out on a Saturday night and watch you?
Yeah, I've tried.
Now, where are you in the driving process? I mean, do you have your permit?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yep. So, I mean, you've been driving, though, for a long time.
This I find so weird.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, right.
He probably just got his permit.
So, like, what kind of driver are you away from the track, Max?
I don't know. Calm?
So you don't speed, right?
Right.
No. Alpine or something like that?
No.
Because I mean, every race driver gets that asked that question. What are they like on the roads?
It's just so different that you can't really compare them. It's not like you hop in a street car and be like, oh, it's a race car, because it's just, it's so less, you know, it's... race car is so mechanical and street car is so automated nowadays. So
I mean, but is it boring to drive down State Street for you?
Yeah.
I mean, because you want to take it at 80, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, better yet, last year when you were 14, you were racing at the Speedway, correct?
Yep.
At 14. But did your mom and dad have to drive you to the Speedway to race, right?
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
He couldn't drive himself to the Speedway. He'd go out on the track then.
Right.
And how fast are you going to Speedway? What's the average speed?
95, 100 at the end of the straightaway.
Okay.
So.
I've never driven that fast in my lifetime.
Well, I thought you did down Alpine that one time you were late coming to the station.
One time I was late coming to the show. Yeah, one time I overslept. I did kind of pick it up a little bit. So.
Well, again, you've got a big fundraiser coming up this Saturday, right?
Yep.
Give us some of those details on how people can get involved.
So it's this Saturday, February 23rd at the Cherry Bowl. And, you know, once again, Don Carter Lanes, thanks to them. They're helping us out with this. And it's at 7 p.m., and for $20, you can get 2 hours of bowling or bingo, and bingo with prizes and stuff, of course. Mm-hmm. And there's free food and drinks, and the silent auction plus 50-50. And then there's going to have silent auction items, you know, lots of sports memorabilia, Bears stuff, Cubs stuff, Blackhawks stuff, all kinds of, you know, cool things, signed stuff. So come on out, and you can, you know, bid on the silent auction items, help us out a little bit, get us through the season, and it's really, you know, appreciated.
Well, and you can walk up that that night too, right? Yep. I mean, you don't have to pre-register. People can just walk in that night and participate. Yep. And Randy, the name of his racing team is Rat Nasty Racing.
Yeah, where's that?
Isn't that awesome?
Honestly, I do not know. My dad came up with it, and it's just kind of stuck. So I never really questioned it. It's just what it is, and I don't know how it
is. Is that on a T-shirt somewhere, Max?
It should be.
It is, actually.
Because I want to buy a Rat Nasty T-shirt. So
we don't have them anymore, but he used to make them.
So. Oh, really? We got to get some more.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think we will all wear them on Randy and Company.
That's the kind of name that people would wear. Yeah,
absolutely. Right. It's
no
memorable.
Idea what it's for.
Right.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Doesn't matter. We don't care what it's for. We just think it's cool, right?
Yeah, again.
And we can support Max.
You talk about that's a sign. We don't like the memorabilia stuff. Where'd you get all that to line up for the fundraiser?
How do we get it all?
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Yeah.
There's a place up in, I can't think exactly where it was, but my mom goes there and she buys the stuff there, and some people donate stuff. And you know, if you donate it, you know, much appreciated. It helps us out a lot. And then we just put it up there on the silent auction and hope it, you know, goes for something, helps us out, get us through the season. And just like a sponsorship, you know.
Have you done this before, a fundraiser last year?
Yep, we did it last year and the year before. But that was at Don Carter Lane. So we're going to switch over to Cherry Bowl a little bit closer. So hopefully that gets more people in the door and help us out.
Mind if I ask, and how much did you raise in the last couple of years, and how much did it help you?
Last couple of years, I'm not sure the exact number, but it was you know, enough to make it worth it, definitely.
Sure, because as we said before, I mean, it can be an expensive sport over the course of the
definitely
of the
an expensive sport. You know, you rack, it's $3,000 right out the window. So,
you know, last week we had Kaylin Kaler on this show.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking someday she's going to write a story about you in Sports Illustrated.
I've been waiting for that. Yeah.
Have you been talking to her about that?
Yeah. She said it's not quite up there enough for her to do a story.
She's doing Super Bowl.
Right. So you're not a big deal quite yet for her.
Yeah,
is that what she's saying to you?
Yep. She's saying it's a little bit of a downgrade.
What's the relationship?
Cousin.
Cousin. So, okay.
So what Kaylor are we going to have on next week, Randy? That's what I want to know.
Well, Dad, probably.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Max. Really appreciate it. And this is a really incredible story that the success you've had at such a young age. I'm just mesmerized at the fact that you can do what you're doing. It's one thing if you're a freshman or sophomore on the basketball team scoring 30 points a game. We've seen that before. Now, not regularly, but we've seen all that. But I just to be this successful, racing, like you said, with the adults out there, and you know, I think you're well on your way. I mean, the natural comparison is going to be to Danica, who also started out in go-karts, if I'm not mistaken, all that kind of climb. So that successful run that she made, and hopefully you can follow that same path. I think one more quick question I was going to ask you is, you'll be back with Speedway again this year. How does it work as far as what's like the next level after the Speedway or that kind of thing? What is the climb, the natural climb?
Well, the natural climb would be ARCA Series, which is kind of NASCAR caliber teams, not really, but close to that, and they go traveling around, you know, all over the Midwest, down south. So that would be the next part after Super Late Miles, which is up from Limited Late Miles. But that's more local tracks, and then ARCA is, you know, wide tour racing.
And
so,
what do you have to do to qualify? Is it a matter of your success, or is it a matter of you can afford to do it, or what?
Basically, just afford to do it, or, you know, your success, get a team to take you in. But if you want to do it by yourself, of course, money. So.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you so much, Max. We do appreciate you coming down here. It's a great story. We're real happy for you, and I'm expecting big things out of you down the road. And I'm sure we'll be talking to him a lot more. And it's nice we get him now when he's 14 so that when he's famous,
He'll remember us
and call us when we pick up the phone when we actually call. At least we hope so.
Well, again, we want to encourage everybody to participate too Saturday night at his fundraiser.
Exactly.
On the 23rd at Cherry Bowl starting at 7 o'clock, right?
Yep.
$20, right?
Yep. And walk-ups are encouraged.
You've got food, prizes, and a lot of fun. And it goes for a great cause of helping Max's continue his success. So again, thank you, Max, for being here.
I
appreciate it. All right, we'll take a little break and we'll come back. We'll talk with Josh Morgan, some college hoops, right after this on Sports Fan Radio 1330.